Hello, beloved, and welcome to this week's Bible study. And in this Bible study, we're going to look at spiritual warfare. We've been busy with it for quite a while now. To be precise, this is our 20th part, looking at spiritual warfare. Now, last week, we looked at the encouragement that we experience even in the midst of the spiritual battles that we face. In this Bible study, we're going to take a look at the help that we receive, okay? Because we are all engaged in spiritual battle, in a spiritual war. And without help, and the right help, we will not be able to stand. We will not be able to survive. So we're going to look at the help that we receive in the spiritual battle that we are in. Before we continue though, let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can learn from your word. And thank you, Father, that your word is so clear. And it is inspired by you. So that at the end of the day, we can be perfect. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. And even in this spiritual life that we lead and the spiritual battles that we face. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you are our present help in time of need. So I want to pray, please open up our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and enable me as your servant to teach your word to your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, when we are involved in a spiritual battle, now whether it's against, let's call them spiritual entities, or whether it's against physical enemies, whether it's the world or the flesh or our unsaved family or relatives or friends, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, there's one thing that we need, and that is we need God's help. You see, no one can fight the spiritual battles alone. It's not possible. Because it's spiritual, beloved. Even though we are spiritual people now, we are open to spiritual things, we understand spiritual things from a biblical perspective, God the Holy Spirit reveals spiritual things to us. These things are all true, and praise the Lord for that. We are much more sensitive towards spiritual things than what we were. But, and that this doesn't cancel the fact that we understand certain spiritual things. This but is, we cannot see into the spirit world. We cannot see exactly what is happening. And therefore, we are so helpless in a sense. We need God's intervention. We need God's help. We need God to do certain things. If He doesn't do that for us, we are in seriously deep trouble. So, beloved, it's just one of those things that we need to say to one another, is we need God's help. We cannot fight these spiritual battles alone. Now, you would have noticed that in my references to encouragement and help and all these kind of things, even some of the battles, I've taken passages of Scripture in the Old Testament where it is spoken about physical enemies. Now, beloved, we need to understand, and I've said before, let me just say it again. Even though we have enemies, and those enemies, let's say they hate us and they want to destroy us, we need to understand who's behind those enemies. Who are the entities behind those enemies? So, yes, we look at the physical enemy that's in front of us. We can look at a persecutor, somebody that persecutes us. We look at the physical person in front of us, but we know this is got nothing to do with just this physical person standing in front of us. There is a spiritual battle that is happening in the spirit world, in the spiritual realm. And it's, how can I say, and this person, this physical person, is just an instrument in the hands of Satan, of the devil, to fulfill his will, to fulfill his purposes and his plans. Right, so we need to understand that. So even though the Old Testament tells us very clearly that, specifically when we go to the Psalms, for example, And it's David or someone crying out about the enemies that attacks and the enemies that doesn't want to stop with their attacks and that kind of thing. We understand that these enemies, even though they're physical, there are spiritual entities behind them that actually pushes them to attack God's people. All right, now let's go to a psalm, Psalm 118, verse 13. Psalm 118, verse 13, and this is what we read. It says, "You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." Now, this verse can actually be translated as saying, pushing me, you pushed at me. It's kind of this double emphasis on the pushing that is taking place. You see, it is the Hebrew way of expressing intensity, of expressing repetition. And it places emphasis on what is happening there. It's this pushing me, you have pushed me, and you are continuing to push me. That's basically what it's saying about this, the enemies. All right, so you can basically say that the enemies made a deadly kind of a thrust at the psalmist. You know, a kind of push to knock him over, but not just to knock him over, but when he is knocked over, to really hurt him, hoping that he will not only be hurt, but hoping that he will be hurt in such a way that it will cause his death. It's violent. It's a serious kind of push. It's not just, you know, bumping into someone or just giving the person a kind of little push against the shoulder or something like that. No, this is a violent push. This is a violent, deadly thrust. Okay. And not only did they make a deadly thrust at the psalmist, his enemies basically repeatedly continued to throw blows at him. So pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to get him to fall down and be destroyed. That's what the enemy wants. All right? He actually, you can say he wanted to crush and destroy the psalmist. So the psalmist sees the enemy doing this same thing over and over and over again. And it's amazing what the psalmist does. He actually addresses the enemy in the first person, as if the enemy is present right there in front of him. But at that specific stage, the psalmists were not experiencing an attack. Okay? But it is the psalmist speaking as if he is experiencing. It's kind of he looks back and he feels what it felt like when he was attacked. All right? He kind of recalls what he experienced before. But, and this is the amazing thing, when he experienced the attack by the enemy before, the psalmist knows that the one who helped him was God. God came to his rescue. God was the one who helped him. And the reason why the enemy of the psalmist stopped the continuous attacks on him is all based on the fact that God stepped in. And God helped the psalmist at exactly the right time, the right way. God stepped in as the conqueror, if you will. That's the amazing thing of what we see here in this psalm. So even though the psalmist had personal skills and the psalmist had courage and the psalmist had strength, that wasn't strong enough, wasn't powerful enough to stand up against the enemy's constant pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to destroy him. The constant attacks that came from the enemy. He couldn't stand against it by using his personal skills and his own courage and his own strength. Not possible at all. It basically took the help of God to step in into the situation and help the psalmist to prevail. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? So no wonder the psalmist says in the next verse, in verse 14 of Psalm 118, he says, "The Lord is my strength." But not only that, the Lord is my strength and song. and He has become my salvation. God is the one who saved him. God is the one who is his strength, because God is the one who came to his assistance and helped him. And God is his song, which means he can now praise God, for God is the one who helped him. You see, God helped the psalmist. And if he didn't, the psalmist would have been in extremely dangerous situation. He would have been in big trouble. But because God helped him, the psalmist basically declares that God is now his strength. He sees it. He acknowledges it. God is the one that he can sing to. And then, obviously, he says that God saved him from sure destruction. God has become his salvation. Now remember, our salvation is the same, eh? Our salvation basically saves us from destruction, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are supposed to go to hell. We are supposed to be destroyed. But God is the one who saves us. He steps in and he saves. He is the one who brings about salvation. That's the beautiful thing about the God that we worship. That's what grace is all about. That's what God's mercy is all about. That God steps in and saves and helps a group of people that are so far gone that if anybody looks at them, anyone would say, there's no hope. No hope for these people. Yet God steps in and he does this amazing thing in their life. All right, so it's clear from Psalm 118 that God is a sure help in time of battle. Not only against physical enemies, but against spiritual enemies. The ones that are behind our physical enemies. And I believe that if God does not help us in our spiritual battles. And remember, I'm saying that our spiritual battles, when we face our enemies, or we face unsaved loved ones, or a family, or relatives, or we face the world, or whatever. It is a spiritual battle, because those entities, those beings that are behind the people that are in the world, those who are not saved, they will always try to come and hurt us and destroy us and do something against us. Right? So I believe that if God does not help us in our spiritual battles, we would be destroyed. And the reason why God can help us is because he's above all. I mean, he's more powerful, he's more supreme, he is the Almighty, and when he helps his own, things change. Things really change. You see, the psalmist looked back at the way his enemies attacked him, and he speaks as if his enemies are standing in front of him, and he can do that because God is the one who helped him. That's why he can now say, God is my help. That's amazing. Now, there's two other verses that I would like to share with you, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 41. Two beautiful verses that kind of echoes the idea of God helping his people. It's how God helped Israel against the attacks of their enemies. Isaiah 41 verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Verse 14. "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Amazing words. Now, when you read verse 13, it's clear that there's nothing to fear from our enemies. Especially if we have God on our side. Nothing to fear from our enemies. We don't need physical strength. We don't need to have an army to fight our enemies and whatever. All we need is we need God on our side. Then we're fine. Okay? And it's exactly what Israel was reminded of by the prophet Isaiah, by the way. I mean, God spoke through Isaiah, and that's what God reminds Israel of. Now, notice how affectionate God addresses Israel. It's so beautiful. You know, it's true. He is the Lord their God. God is awesome over Israel. God is mighty to save. God is all powerful. He's supreme. He's above everything and everyone. That's all the amazing things. Then God says to Israel, fear not, I will help you. This God, this amazing, awesome, brilliant, far above everything, everyone, this God says to Israel, fear not, I will help you. Yeah. Beloved, when the battle that we experience are fierce, you know, and we feel weak, we feel unable to continue in this battle, the words of God through the prophet Isaiah should come to us. Because it's words of promise. It's words with filled with freedom and familiarity. Let's call it friendship. When God says, fear not, I will help you. Just amazing that God, the Almighty God, will come and assist and come to the rescue of His people. Beloved, and we are His people. That's the wonderful thing. You see, when God intervenes and helps, oh, it's the most amazing thing in the world. When God helps, it is real. It's lasting help. It changes things. When God helps, He helps from every angle possible. We can't cover every angle, but God does. When God helps, we can know things will change. I mean, the Almighty God of the universe, who created everything, steps into His creation to come and help His own people. Isn't that amazing? Beloved, when God does that, the whole universe must obey Him. When He steps in to come and help, they must obey, for He is the Creator. So no wonder He tells Israel, you know, through the prophet Isaiah, fear not. You see, when God addresses Israel in verse 14, He calls Israel, you worm. You see that? He calls them, you worm. Now, being a worm probably means that Israel looked very, you know, they didn't look well. They looked poor and they looked afflicted. They were looking like objects of insignificance. You know, like, maybe like outies on the street or bums on the street, you know, that kind of thing. They really didn't look good. Now, in our passage, remember that Israel was in captivity in Babylon, so they were not a happy group of people anyway. So they must have looked poor and they must have looked afflicted as they were subjected to the enemies, as they were subjected to all the things that the enemies were throwing at them. I mean, they couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't deliver themselves. They were actually helpless. And it is true that they were in captivity because of their sin. That's true. But still, they were God's people. And they were involved in a spiritual battle with their enemies. Even though it was Babylon, and even though God used Babylon to discipline Israel, the spiritual battle was still real, very, very real. It's like what we read about in Daniel now, when Daniel was praying for Israel, and then the angel had to break through to come and give Daniel the message. It's a spiritual battle. It's that's the reality of it. So even though Israel could be in Babylonian exile, being disciplined by God, it's still a spiritual battle. Now, a passage like Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 and 14 tells us what an awesome God the God of Israel is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because in His mercy, God tells Israel not to fear, that He will help them. But they're in Babylonian exile. They're being disciplined by Him. But can you see God's mercy? He says, I will help you. Don't fear. Yeah, we know that God brought Israel back to after 70 years in captivity. And in that sense, we know that God helped Israel. And why? Because He's a covenant-keeping God. He is trustworthy in every way. He will not break His word. Even though Israel broke their word, God never ever breaks His word. You see, God would deliver. He would rescue Israel from Babylon. And that's why he calls himself their Redeemer. He calls him your Redeemer in verse 14. You see, God rescued Israel before, and he will do it again. And kind of on the record, God has rescued his people over and over and over and over again. Now many times that these people walk away from God, as in a sense. Interestingly, God will deliver Israel. He will always just do it. And why? It's not because of them. It's not because of what they do and how they do things. No. It's got nothing to do with what they have done, even in the past. God will deliver them because God is Israel's God who decided to redeem Israel. He decided to be their God. And because God decided to be their God, God will deliver them, because that's what God does for his people. That's how faithful and trustworthy God is. It's just amazing. Now, beloved, as we face battles, our specific battles, especially our spiritual battles, yeah, coming through physical people, unfortunately, I mean, we can be rest assured. Just like Israel, we don't have to fear. God is our God. He is our Redeemer. And he will help us. Not because of who we are, anything we have done. No, he helps us because he said he will help us. Because we can rest in him. We belong to him. He is the one who is in complete and full charge of our lives. He is our God. He decided it. Because he's the one who regenerated us. He's the one who saved us by his grace. And this is the amazing thing about God. God does it because he is who he is. He is the unchanging God. When we sin, we will be disciplined. That's a fact. But, beloved, we can trust God. He is a present help in time of need, even in our spiritual battles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And wow, yes, thank you so much for your help. When we in time of need, thank you that you are our present help in time of need. That you look after us. That you protect us. That you work things out in accordance to your purpose and your plan. Thank you that we can trust you. Go before us during this week, Father, please. And may the truth of your word not only speak to our hearts, but change us so that we can apply what we've learned to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that his face will shine upon you, and that he will give you his peace. And remember, he is our help in times of battle. God willing, until next time. Bye-bye.